Good morning, Symphony Church. We're continuing in the book of Malachi, and today we'll be reading Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. And I'll read that for us. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Amen. One of the best feelings in the world, in my opinion, is getting a surprise text or call or maybe even a letter from a good friend that you haven't seen in a long time. Maybe they've moved far away for work or school. Maybe they're traveling and seeing the world. Maybe they're in a different microchurch. But despite this, they go out of their way to check in on you and make sure that you're doing okay. It's such a great feeling because it shows that they remembered you. And if they remembered you, it probably means that you've been a pretty good friend to them up to this point as well. And it makes sense, right? If you're a loyal and loving and considerate friend, then they would obviously cherish you and keep you in their minds. Now, what wouldn't make sense is if you are a horrible, inconsiderate, downright rude human being to this person, and they still cherished you and remembered you. And yet, that's kind of what we see here with God and with Israel. We read yesterday that right before today's passage, Israel was found to be speaking against God, saying that it is vain to serve God, and that it doesn't profit them to walk before him. They were essentially saying that their relationship with God, this amazing gift that he had given them, was worthless. And yet, we read in today's passage that he still remembered them. Verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name." God hears his people as they say these things, that they've been abandoned and forgotten by him, and rather than punish them for their short-sightedness, he listens to them and shows them that he remembers. Malachi shows this through a book of remembrance with the names of his people written in it. God looks upon these names in his book and says, "They shall be mine. They shall make up my treasured possession." And the question is, why? Why would this wicked, grumbling people be the treasure of God? What the Israelites hadn't learned yet, and what we ourselves often forget, is that we don't earn the remembrance of God by being righteous or worthy. We don't only get the texts and the calls if we were good first. Our relationship with God is nothing like a human relationship. God remembers us because we're his children. I think one of the most powerful illustrations of this relationship is given by Jesus when he tells the parable of the prodigal son. And actually, because I'd rather let the Bible do the talking than me, I want to read it for us. So here's the parable of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. You see, the son had it all wrong. He thought his father would accept him, would remember him, if he promised to be worthy. But his father accepted him, he remembered him, because he was his son. The son thought that because he had ran off with the money and turned his back on his father, he was no longer worthy to be called son. But to the father, the title of son was not something that could be earned. God, in his graciousness and his love, wrote the names of those Israelites in his book of remembrance. They didn't earn it. They were far from good enough, but even still, they were his treasured possession. But wait, you might say, those Israelites didn't just do nothing. It says that only those who feared the Lord, only those who esteemed his name and served him were remembered. And that's true. And that's true. Just like how in the parable of the prodigal son, the son didn't just go from starving in a pig pen to being embraced by his father instantly. The key is that he came back home. The key is that those Israelites still opened even just a part of themselves up to the Lord. I hope you remember today that we are part of the greatest deal ever known to man. The Lord of the universe, the Almighty, Eternal God, wants to treasure us and embrace us and call us daughter and son. All we have to do is come to him. Make no mistake, what Malachi calls the Book of Remembrance, whether it's a book or a list or a scroll, it's in God's hands. And there will be a day where our fates are decided by whether or not our names are in it. But it's a book that is open. It's a book that has a space for your name and mine. It's a book that God is holding a quill to, ready to write. All we have to do is go to him. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us of the times where we try to earn our salvation, where we try to earn a spot for our name in the Book of Remembrance. But Lord, as we read about this grace that you showed Israel, how you were so ready to receive them, to remember them, to cherish them, and to treasure them, I pray that we know that you are the same God. I pray that this is an encouragement to us, that it's a transforming word that reminds us that we don't need to measure up to a standard. We don't need to live a life of forcing ourselves to meet these expectations. Lord, instead, may we accept your grace, which is so much sweeter. May we accept this forgiveness, this covering of our own iniquity. And may we celebrate the God that is so good that he is good even when we're not. That he is a father that is ready to embrace his child. Thank you for being that kind of God, Lord. May that change our lives today. May that change our lives forevermore. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.